Welcome to Cold Omaha's High School Hockey Podcast. I am Danny Ryan. Today I'm joined with Tony Scott from the Youth Hockey Hub. Hey, Tony.
How you doing, Danny?
I'm better than you, at least. Yep. Somewhat awake. You had a busy weekend up
there.
Very
busy.
Hibbing,
Virginia, and Chisholm.
Wow.
The Mesabi Iron Range.
Yeah, big on the range this weekend. And speaking of the range, we have Tim Howe from the Grand Rapids Hockey Online. Right, Tim? Am I saying that right?
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah, so, but it's not on the Iron Range, just for the record, right, Tim?
Not quite. Just off the edge of it.
Just off the edge.
That's okay. It is more of a mill town, to be honest.
Yes, it is.
And I think IRA kind of makes that clear with it being a full wooden rink, too. So
that's right. Beautiful rink, too.
Yeah, and we'll talk about that more in a couple seconds. Let's first start rolling off with the games of the week this week. First game on Tuesday that I was at was St. Thomas Academy versus Benilde. Benilde wins this game 5-3. Shots were tied 33-33, but really, I thought St. Thomas Academy kept them in check through the whole game. I think a player that we haven't really talked much about regarding St. Thomas Academy was Vinny Capeza. I mean,
great goaltender.
This kid is really standing on his head in a backup role for Atticus Kelly because he came in during Schwanskup time, and really he's been playing really well right now.
Vinny's been awesome. He was really good in the Schwanskup. He was pretty good the other night too, but just a little bit too much Benilde at the end. And it's just kind of like they just put it in overdrive.
Well, the thing about Benilde is you can't match them. You can't play two lines against them like St. Thomas wants to right now. They only play really two lines and about four defense, but really two defense with Sucker and Smallage. So this is a team that's so deep. Tim, what did you think about Benilde when Rapids played them early in the season?
Yeah, I guess I walked away from that game thinking it would be pretty hard for somebody to beat Benilde, and I guess that's proven to be true. I mean, I think that game was back in November, but they're fast, they're deep, and I think I saw something online today that they've scored four or more goals 15 times. I mean, that's only a 25-game season, and that's just a model of consistency to me.
Yeah, I was really impressed. I mean, it just seems like when they need to turn it on, they'll turn it on. I had a great quote from Ken Pauley after the game in my story. I'm the most unhappy undefeated coach out there or something like that. It's true, and he was so pissed after the game. It was classic.
Well, I think this is the worst I've seen Benilde play this year. There was at points that Benilde looked sloppy. I don't know if this was getting kids back healthy, because if you look at Connor Mayer was back on the ice and Horton was back on the ice. And so I don't know if it was kind of just
Augie Moore back on the ice.
Augie's back and Augie's got the first goal.
Fresh. Yeah.
And so I think this is a Benilde team that clearly is going to go a long way. It's who can stop them offensively.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about your boys, the cadets. I mean, who got the goal scoring? Robert Christie, Peyton Matsui. I mean,
yeah,
this
young
is
guns.
How young this team is.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, Peyton had a big game.
I think as far as any teams around the state that rely on one player, St. Thomas is one of those. They rely on Billy Jerry to get things started, and it really funnels over to Ray Christie, his brother, Rob's brother, and Peyton Matsui. And so when Billy Jerry is playing well, this team is playing well. But
that's a good observation, young Danny.
I just I am the youngest one on the show today, I guess.
I am by far the oldest.
So I think when St. Thomas is good is when they're playing good goaltending, good D, and Billy Jerry is on the score sheet. And so, but I think this goes to show that Benilde is continuously the top team. They're probably going to go undefeated.
Don't say that.
I'm using the U word.
Okay. All right. Fine.
So, and to be honest with you, is this game a surprise to anybody here? Tim, was this a surprise to you at all by this result?
No, not at all. And the thing is, I hate to use that U word too, but Benilde just looks like a team. There's been a couple games they haven't played well, and they've still won, and it hasn't even been all that close in some of those contests. So you never know what might trip you up, but they could be 25-0 headed into the playoffs. Who knows?
25-0-1 for the record.
Yeah, 24-0-1.
Tied Lakeville North, and one of the most exciting games of the year, I thought, next to the Eden Prairie, Well, been a little game. And so isn't that funny? The best team in the state's playing some pretty exciting games.
And they've won in overtime now, too. They've won in overtime against Grand Rapids. They've won in overtime a couple of times.
EP.
EP, that's the one that I was thinking of. And so it's not like this team hasn't been tested, but they've rose up. Their depth has proven in most of the games. Let's go on to another game, a Northern Tilt on Tuesday. Hermantown beats Grand Rapids 5-0. Something of interest, Grand Rapids also outshot them 29-28. But Hermantown was 2-for-3 on the power play. Tim, what is with Grand Rapids' one goal against, because it's quite atrocious, and their power or their penalty kill is not very strong right now either?
Yeah, I think they've really gone hand-in-hand. Obviously, you give up a lot of goals when you're shorthanded, the goals against goes up. Coach Clatt, I actually talked to him extensively on Thursday morning, so that would have been, you know, a couple days after this game. But he said it's just time to simplify. And now he's putting his best players out on the ice, Madsen and Adams, and, man, Micah Miller's an excellent penalty killer. Yeah. He's using those guys. He's simplified a little bit. And it was better against Duluth East. It was really good against an average Andover team, but to me, that penalty kill is the number one area, because I think they've given up 20 power play goals this year. That's too many. That's too many for a season.
Yeah, that's bad for any team. You know, let alone a team that we're talking about as a possible state tournament berth, too.
Yeah, but if they shore that up, I mean, that's when you're giving up a goal 2 out of 3 times. You know, that's in a high school hockey game. It's not unheard of to have 5 or 6 penalty kill scenarios, so you're spotting the other team a goal or two. I mean, if you can change that, you can really change the flow and the potential outcomes of your games.
Well, and especially how certain Grand Rapids players play. You're going to say Anderson is a more chippier player, and so if they're going to play on the chippier side, they got to play a good penalty kill along with it. And so that's what kind of is an Achilles heel right now with the team, is if they play with that aggressive and that edge, then they got to shore up on the back end as well.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, they're going to take their penalties because of the way they play. I think they've taken, you know, somewhere near 70. I know they've been on the penalty kill a lot more than they've been on the power play, but you're right. If they don't fix that, it might shorten the season a little bit.
Well, that's a good segue into fixing things. They got things fixed on Thursday. We want to talk about that game. We want to talk a little bit more detail on the Hermantown game.
Let's talk one more second about Hermantown in the sense that this is probably the best team of the North right now.
They won the Northern State Championship.
Yeah, I think
two best teams in the North, I thought, going into that game, and they blew them out. No offense, Tim.
Yeah, they dominated this game. Wyatt Amont got on the scoreboard, and I mean, this is a good Hermantown team. They're the class right now of the North.
Watkins got a pair too, so that's good for Hermantown if they can get some scoring out of some of those second tier guys instead of, you know, resting on Sandlin and Koepke and those guys. So
yeah, Koepke.
Koepke, sorry.
No, I think Hermantown, if they can prove to score like that and prove on defense as well and just shut you down.
What did you see out of Hermantown? Because I obviously didn't see the game, Tim.
Yeah, I don't know that Hermantown ran them out of the building. It certainly wasn't like last year's 10-2 game. But Hermantown
got
great
at least
goals.
You're trending towards better, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Hermantown got great goaltending. I thought they did a really good job of the opportunities were one and done. The goaltender covered up a lot of pucks, and the D cleared a lot of pucks. And then, it was a tight game. I don't remember if it was 1-0 or 2-0, and then Grand Rapids took a 5-minute major and, you know, boom, boom, a couple power play goals and
late in the
game
second,
flipped on its head.
Who played in goal? Who played goalie?
Stay School.
Okay.
Stay School. And he Stay School didn't play poorly. I mean, there was maybe one goal that he would like to have back, but Hermantown got some good looks, especially on that power play. Their two power play goals, you know, they made it look real easy.
Okay, let's move on to the next game of Grand Rapids this week, the big game, the premier game, which State School did not start. Gabe Hollum started, right?
Yep.
Yep.
Yep. And so this game went 4-3 overtime, Grand Rapids over Duluth East. This was a great game. Tony, you were announcing it, covering it.
Yep.
And Tim, you were watching it as well. Mm-hmm. First off, Mattson got the scoring early. Did he ever. I think that really got the crowd involved, too, because then Grand Rapids felt like they have a chance. Because really in this game, I feel that Grand Rapids is always a goal down. Is that a good way to put it?
That's true. And that was an absolute snipe. I mean, nothing that Mironov could do about it. It's a great shot.
And then Adams scores in the third.
Or second. Second. Yeah. And same thing. They just gave him space. I mean, I don't know what the Duluth East D was thinking. Like, that's Alex Adams. Don't give him 15 feet to line it up and drill it. And he did. So, and then Duluth East, you're going to like this, Tim, had to score four goals to get three to tie the game. They had a disallowed goal, which was, again, I don't even know the rule. Is it crossbar, Tim, or is it shoulders? You know, on that tip in. It's shoulders. So it was right at his shoulder. So now it's a judgment call. Would you agree with that, Tim?
I would. I actually grabbed a still shot of it. We have a guy, nice. Rick Libby. He does a great job. Yep. He does highlights for a lot of our games just on his own there. And I grabbed a still shot, and it is, I mean, his stick with the puck on it is right at shoulder length. So it became a judgment call.
Yes, it's a total judgment call. Yeah.
The kid was tall, so I think it looked maybe more blatant than it was.
He is tall. Was that Austin? Is that his last name? Or
Christ, I think.
Austin Christ,
Yeah.
So it was a tough call, and my goodness, there was no one. There's about 18 people in that rink who felt sorry for Mike Randolph on that call.
And then Duluth scores in the third, and then Rapids with...
I believe it was Ash Altman who scored backdoor. It was a pretty goal to tie it.
To tie it was Ash Altman on the power play, but then Grand Rapids took this one away in overtime with Drake Anderson scoring the game winner.
The goal wasn't on my side of the ice, so it's clearly on the other side of the rink, but it looked like just the most nasty, you know, he was just skating into the goal and the puck came loose and it kind of hit his body and went in. It was far from pretty, but it was right next to the student section. He goes and jumps into the crowd. It was great. It was just great TV, let me tell you.
Let's talk a little bit about this game, this rivalry between these two schools. First off, Tim, you've played at Grand Rapids. You know this game. What does this game mean to the Thunder Hawks?
Yeah, I think I kind of talked about it leading up to that game. It's a very strange rivalry because if you look at a lot of teams in the state, they have that mutual. I mean, Roseau War Road, Cloquet Duluth East, there's a bunch of them down in the cities where the two opponents are chief rivals. It's the game they look forward to. For Grand Rapids, that team's Duluth East, but for Duluth East, that team's Cloquet. So the leading up to that game, I hate to look at it like this, but I really think it's true as a former player. The game is much more of a big deal for us than it is for them, which always makes a weird dynamic until it gets to February. Then I think in the playoffs, it's probably looked at the same way.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I mean, our chief rival at St. Thomas was Creighton, but that, you know, that game doesn't mean as much in hockey terms as much as Hill Murray. Yep. Because Hill's the conference game sort of thing. Right. And so it's a weird dynamic like that. But how cool was it to be in IRA, Tony, for this game?
Well, I was talking about it a little bit. It's, you know, I played high school hockey. We played at IRA. I played in the three iron range, three of the premier rinks there. And my commentator or my broadcast buddy says, well, don't you remember playing? I'm like, oh, yeah, but I don't remember being remembering it being that great. And I don't mean that in a bad way, just that when you're playing the game, you don't really pay that much attention to what's going on around you. But when you're broadcasting a game and there's a band 15 feet away from you and there's loud music and the sold-out arena and they're just passionate fans, it was like nothing I've ever seen. And I've seen a lot of games, high school games, in the last 15 years. I've never seen anything like what I saw. So tip my hat to Grand Rapids and their fans for what I saw there. It was an amazing experience.
Tim, what's it like to play for Grand Rapids? It is one of the coolest places to watch a game, like we just said. When I went up there this year, I mean, I was kicked out of a seat because of the assigned seating. And so I
got a great story. My girlfriend in high school had to scalp tickets to get in. True story. To watch me play. I mean, that's really pushing it.
But, Tim, what's it like to play for the Thunderhawks?
Yeah, it's a very special, not just the, I mean, the arena speaks for itself. It's such a cool place to play. Our fans are great. I think the one thing that maybe goes overlooked or missed by the people who don't get to go see a game like we saw on Thursday night is our fans are really intelligent.
Yeah.
They understand the game of hockey. There was a play, I'm pretty sure it was Micah Miller, was basically one man killing a penalty in the attacking zone. He probably bottled up East by himself for 15 or 20 seconds, and half the building was on its feet cheering.
Yep. I made comment to that during the broadcast. Did you pick up on that?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like he just did it, and the fans show their appreciation. Right after whistle, he skates off the ice, and everyone stood up, and they said, yeah, that's effort. That's what we applaud you, Micah, for that. And it was an amazing sequence.
Yeah, and I think that's what makes it so cool is, I mean, the crowd that the East game gathers is probably bigger than, you know, a lot of nights, but that arena's pretty full for every home game, including when Rapids played Brainerd at 3 o'clock on a Wednesday earlier this year. I mean, people come out no matter who it's against, and they really get the game, and it's so cool.
Well, and the funny part is when I was up there for the Minnetonka game, I thought it was so weird. Normally when you're at a game, you see little kids running around, doing their thing. Even at the Duluth East Eden Prairie game that I was at on Saturday, they were running around when a player was down. But you don't see that at Grand Rapids. Everybody's watching the game. It's crazy.
Yeah, all those kids want to be the next, you know, whoever it is at the time. Right now, it's maybe Mitchell Madsen. It's been Avery Peterson, Patrick White, Joe Staskel. Those kids want to watch because that's who they want to grow up to be. I mean, I remember being in that building, too. It was like the worst thing ever. If you couldn't go to the game, like as a youth hockey player, you had to go play in Virginia or something, and Grand Rapids had a home game on a Friday night. I mean, it was just like you didn't even want to go to your own game because you wanted to be there. That's how cool it is.
I love it.
That
love
is
it.
Really cool. But
who wants to play at the minors anyway, right?
Nah, right, exactly.
I'm just kidding. I've spent my whole weekend there.
Well, you told me a good story about Virginia on the way in, though.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. Glad you brought that up about Virginia. We had a tournament, and it was semifinals were going on Saturday night, and the water main broke in the Miners Arena. And if this water main breaks at Bloomington Ice Garden or Braemar, it's over. The tournament's over. Shut it down. Send everybody home. Have a nice day. The guys at Virginia truck in 700 gallons of water to fill up the Zamboni. They bring in porta-potties, literally on a moment's notice, porta-potties into the rink. Gallons of bottled water for the players for their water bottles, and the tournament goes on. It was an amazing. I was like, did this just happen? And they did it. They turned it like in 2 hours so we could get the semifinals on time. That's hockey, I'm telling you.
Yeah, that's iron range hockey for you.
Yep.
Okay, let's move on to some more games that happened this week. Breck Apollo. This game happened as well on Thursday, and as well it went into overtime where Breck came out ahead 3-2. Breck outshot the Apollo 38-32. Tony, what does this say really about this Breck team right now? Is this the number two, number one team in the state in Class A?
I'm going to have them at number two. They're like bruised fruit still. I'm still looking at that Rosemount and St. Michael losses.
Mm-hmm.
And I have them at two, and we'll move Apollo back down to three. And, you know, with a big win over Grand Rapids, you got to hand Hermantown the number one spot.
Yep.
By a nose. I mean, a little bit of a nose, maybe a half a length if we're using horse racing terms.
But I think both Breck and Hermantown have their weaknesses at points and losses. But we're not knocking completely Rosemount. This is a good team. They're very
very
scrappy and dirty team. They'll get down in there. But I just think that Breck is the number two team in the state right now behind them as well.
I think there's four Class A teams that will win the state championship, and you saw what happened with Matamidi. I mean, that team is legit. I mean,
Matamidi beating St. Thomas Academy.
Yeah, that's a great win for Matamidi. I've seen him play twice, and I think I'm like, wow, this team could compete with Hermantown. It could compete with Breck. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, that's,
and it was kind of disappointing they didn't get to meet in the Schwann Cup because that's what everybody was hoping for. So much for that, Rosemount.
Let's move on to another game that happened on Saturday that I was at. It was Duluth East and Eden Prairie. This was a 4-1 win for Eden Prairie, but this game got off to a weird start.
Yeah.
Eden Prairie scored really quickly by Hunter Johannes, but then Hunter Johannes got a 5-minute major by checking Nathaniel Benson into the boards. I was really... he got checked into the near boards on my side, and I was sitting on the circle that it happened. So I saw a clear shot of it. It was a bad check. Nathaniel Benson broke some ribs, pinched a nerve too. So he was down on the ice for about 40 minutes. It ruined my hockey appetite for the rest of the day, really. You don't like to see it. And so Duluth East had a hard time getting back up to play. And even Prairie didn't look that strong in this game then. And so I think this game I was really looking forward to and had bookmarked from the beginning of the season because I thought this is the 1-2.
That's my state 1-2 preview championship, and people are holding me to this dang show. People hold me to this. Like, you still have Eden Prairie, Duluth East in the championship. I'm like, yep, I still have them in the championship, and I still think that'll happen. And if I'm wrong, you know, we'll be on the show that following Sunday for me to take my licks.
And I think this Duluth East team has a lot of stuff going for it, but right now they still have so many question marks associated with them. They're very talented, as they proved in the Grand Rapids game, but they just cannot find a way to get things together right now.
Tim, what's your take on Duluth East? We talked a little bit about Rapids on that side of it. What did you see on Thursday night, and as you probably follow them, as because they're your biggest rival?
Yeah, I see a team that struggles to score goals. But I don't, you know, you get differing opinions. People you ask, I don't see a difference in this team defensively and in goal from what I saw last year. And they went all the way to a state championship game.
Yeah.
So I think right now I've not been impressed, and I've seen them a couple times. And I'm very comfortable in saying that doesn't matter. They're still the team to beat in Section 7. And I think they're going to be a super hard out for anybody when it comes playoff time.
I thought their best players were their defensemen. I watched, this kid, Spencer kid's unbelievable. Spencer and LeMaster were really good. He's talking about they have one line, and I beat it to death in the broadcast that they basically rolled them every chance they could? I mean, it was kind of sad to watch. It was like, oh, we got a whistle? Okay, put the first line back out there.
Yeah, it was
hard to watch.
It was strange. Randolph talked before the game, too, about how he was guessing, but he thought he'd played 30 skaters this year. And then you watched, and that three guys logged a ton of minutes for East on Thursday night.
Yeah, it was hard to watch. And, you know, and I also talked about how they trap him. I can't watch that. You know, it's just too hard to watch when they just basically sit back and let them break out, let them come in, and they're trying to basically play the percentages. And I'm not a big fan of how they did that, and it's funny, they got down 2-0, they got rid of it, and then they started scoring goals. So it's like the trap thing is not working, it's not being effective, and I think that's what's probably costing them wins.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that'll get corrected, which is why I wouldn't put much stock in what East has done or hasn't done so far.
I agree.
They could be a 5-win team going in the sections, and I still think they're one of the best teams going in the section.
Oh, yep. Did you just say a 5-win team?
But I'm just saying.
That's painful. Hey, how does that sound to a Grand Rapids guy? They could be a 5-win team coming into section. Do you laugh at that or do you cry at that, Tim?
I mean,
we have to answer one. Come on. You can't say neither. Pick one.
As an alumni, I'd probably laugh.
Okay, good. Good. All right, thank you.
Okay, let's talk about one more matchup, Edina versus Hill Murray. This happened on Saturday. This was a tie. The teams just recently played in Schwann's Cup consolation, I want to say, where Edina came out with a 5-4 win in overtime. I think this is a good tie for Hill, a bad tie for not necessarily a bad tie, but I think this is a win more for Hill than it is for Edina.
Yeah, Hill's coming around. We're not surprised they have some talent on that team, kind of like St. Thomas. Yeah. They're young, so they're going to have some.
I think they have a lot more talent than St. Thomas, though.
Yeah, but not more than Edina. I'm surprised.
Not more than Edina.
Edina should have won this game, and I think Edina's looking around going, I think they're just kind of bored. They're waiting to get to the playoffs so they can play, you know, Wayzata and get their shot at Benilde, because that'll be their only shot at Benilde.
If they even see Benilde.
I agree. They got to get through quarters and semis before they get to see Benilde.
Tim, I'm kind of curious, on a northern perspective, what's your guys' shot on Edina this year? I mean, because Grand Rapids played them, and they just utterly dominated the game, too, which you don't see out of an Edina game, too.
Yeah, I haven't seen a Rapids team beat an Edina team like that probably in my life. That was something different. The final score was not indicative of the game. I think Edina's a lot like East, and I think it was just hit on the head there. A lot of times they just look bored in the regular season. I feel like they, from what I saw in the Grand Rapids game, which is the only time I saw them, I don't think they lack talent. They have plenty of players, especially kids that can put the puck in the net. And they started to come back in that Rapids game. So I think they'll be there at the end, but they're in a tough section.
I think that actually, I don't know if it's as tough as section two. I think two is even tougher than seven.
Tougher.
We coming into season seven was the winner, and I think two is turning out to be the toughest. There's going to be some good.
Two
is the new six.
Yeah, two is the new six with Minnetonka, Prior Lake, Holy Family, and Eden Prairie. And I think all those teams, if they made it to state, I don't think I'd be surprised.
Any of them, even Prior Lake.
Prior Lake right now.
Absolutely.
Okay, Tim, we have you on. Let's talk a little bit about you. We don't have you on every week, so where can we find you?
Yeah, well, first of all, thanks for having me. It's been fun. We are at grhshockey.com. We just kind of figured this out not too long ago. I think we're in year 11 of doing this.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that's so cool.
Actually, yeah, the short version of the backstory is I was a sophomore on the JV team, and I can't remember why, but I didn't get to go to the varsity game. I don't know if I had a reason, you know, whatever, but played the JV game and left. And I found out the score of the game, but I had no idea. You know, my neighbor was my idol and my favorite varsity player, Mark Columbus. I'm like, man, I don't know who scored. I don't know who did anything. I thought, well, I'm usually at all the games. So it started with a super elementary website of basically just, you know, posting a box score with every outcome. And now a full-fledged website. We cover every game. We have sponsors for everything we do. It's kind of been crazy to see how far it's come in 11 years, but pride ourselves on. I don't think a high school hockey team in the country has quite the website and, like, full arching coverage that we do, so we're pretty proud of that.
I thought it was pretty cool. On Twitter, I discovered you. Obviously, on Twitter, I tweeted something about their Bantam team or their Pee Wee team or something 2, 3, 4 years ago. And I, you know, obviously, you've retweeted it. I'm like, who's this? And then I went on there and I was like, wow, this is like the mecca of high school hockey.
Well, it really is. It's awesome.
And when I remember when we started a Twitter account, it was either my mom or my dad saw my computer and what I was doing, and they're like, why are you on there? Why would anyone care? And at the time, maybe nobody cared, but, you know, fast forward to now, and every high school athletic team has their own dedicated Twitter account and Facebook too. And so it's really cool to see how far that's come just statewide. And I mean, I guess really social media has exploded, but it's really cool
to see. Social media in the positive sense.
Yes.
Right.
We often hear about it so negative. I'm like, oh, actually, there's lots of positive things, the way to communicate, and that's one of them for sure.
Well, and I love your website in the sense, like, you'll do backstories on alumni, too. You did a backstory. I remember reading on Pat White, which was really cool to see what Pat's up to right now because he was such a great high school player. And it's cool because you put so much history with the website, too, with your program. And so anybody who's just a casual Rapids fan can go on there and look at the history of Grand Rapids, which is really awesome.
Yeah, and I think it's important to kind of highlight our alumni. Even we've tried to do a little bit more of the guys who haven't gone on to play hockey. Maybe they're doing something different. Just because when we have our annual alumni game, well, it's become alumni games. We have have two now. I mean, we've had up to 55, 60 players come back.
That's your fault, by the way. Without that website, no one would be coming back, right?
Well, right. I'll take credit for that.
Good.
But it's been awesome to get. I mean, this year was a little bit of a younger crowd, but we've had, you know, guys back to the 70s and 80s skating with kids who graduated last year. I mean, that's so cool.
That's not that old, by the way, Tim. 70s and 80s. Come on.
I'm not.
I could probably name like 20 of them. I was a huge Rapids fan too.
Billy Baker.
Love it. Jim Jetland, John Casey. Unbelievable.
DeCenzo's.
Good players.
Anyways, Tim, thanks for coming on again. We really appreciate that. We'll have you on later in the season.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right. Take care.
Yep.
Bye.
Okay. Tim, that's probably good on your end. Thanks for coming
on. Good.
Yep.
Yeah, appreciate you guys having me. It was fun.
We'll get you on again.
All right, man. Take care.
See ya.
Yep. Bye.
Bye. Well, thanks again, Tim, for joining us on today's show. Now we bring on Carl East on the phone. Carl, we couldn't have you on at the same time because we didn't want a fight to break out, I guess.
It would have been ugly.
Yeah, I mean, you had to deal with all that Rapids love for a while there, so I'll try to counteract that now.
Here we go, Rapids. Anyways, let's start off the segment with you, Carl, with some apologies. I know we've done some recently. Tony, you want to go first?
Yeah, I'm going to ask for an apology this week. I've been villainized on Carl's message board, and they've lauded this young child named Carl as the classy one. And I just want my due. I want to be apologized to on that message board for all the harsh words and how I cash in on these poor parents about premium memberships. If you are a premium member out there,
primo,
you know that there's lots of great data behind that paywall about statistics on all players in Minnesota. And if you want to see that information, you can come there. If you don't, I don't begrudge you. So I'm asking for an apology.
Well, I mean, I think maybe I should be deserved one too, considering that apparently I don't go to any games.
You do not. You do not go to games. You've never been to a game. I've never seen you there.
It's weird.
It's weird. I've never seen you there. And that Twitter kid you send out to tweet under your name, it's amazing how you got this figured out.
He takes great videos and pictures,
yes,
let me
does.
Tell you.
He's doing good work.
But I might have been to like close to 20 to 30, maybe.
Too many. And the weird part, you keep those programs with you. Wrapped up in a little baggy, you know.
Yes, creepy. Evidence. Every single program stuff is talking.
I know, I love it.
Because at some games you don't get programs.
You're like a bone collector. I mean, like, I have programs. I love it. I do. It's cool. You are an old man in a young man's body.
Well, I fold them.
Yep, you fold them up like a little rubber band around them in a baggie with your peanuts. I mean, it's creepy. In your old man jacket. Seriously, that's like an old man trench coat. Do you wear galoshes?
That is a camel hair.
Yeah, camel hair. It's camel hair, exactly. What 25-year-old wears camel hair?
Soon to be 26 on Tuesday.
Over. You're in a box.
I'm Italian, and that's what people do.
That's right. Okay, Wapo boy. All right, let's start off. That is quite offensive. Hey, I'm Italian, too. Call me a Wapo all you want. All right, here we go. Let's talk about it. Let's move on. Talk a little bit about players. I wrote a story a few weeks ago called Out of the Shadows, and one of those players in the story is a guy I want to bring up today. His name is William Blake. He carved.
Who does he play for?
He plays for Breck. His last name is Blake.
Okay.
He plays for Breck.
He had a game-winning goal last year in the section final against Delano, and he did it again in overtime, beating Nick Altos and my favorite team in Class A, St. Cloud Apollo.
At Apollo
at the MAC. So there's my Out of the Shadows feature today. He's a heck of a hockey player. I think he's better than Chase Ellingson. He doesn't have the production, but he does. But he makes big plays every time I watch them play.
Yeah, I'm going to go with a Hill Murray kid on this one. Hill Murray's Brock Bremer stands out to me every time you see him. Maybe because he's only like 5'3".
Oh, he's bigger than that.
Stand out when you're that show.
He's bigger than that. He's a good player. He's a Forest Lake kid.
Well, the thing about Brock Bremer is he's kind of like Tyler Zapata on this team. If you remember Tyler Zapata from the team in 08, he's a very big spark plug for them. He plays on their top line. He's a jitterbug, and he gets under people's skin because he's so small and he's so crafty. And I really like this kid a lot.
Who's your guy, Carl?
I'm going to go with Max Michaelis from Elk River. He's got guys to really been an important reason why this team has really come out and surprised a lot of people this year. He's got great chemistry with Zerbin there on the top line. Two of them are really carrying the load. It's just having a really good season so far.
And I think Elk's really surprising us right now.
Not surprising me. Not surprising me.
Well, apparently you...
I like to remind us every week. So.
I like to remind you guys that. I got jabbed on the board about that. I forgot, you know, I didn't leave Blaine out. You know, here's the deal. Blaine, I thought Riley was gone, so I couldn't put them in my top 10, and I was wrong, and I'm happy I was wrong.
Yeah, I think we've done really well with Riley. You know, the state's
it's
really
great for
improved.
High school hockey.
It's great. And I think without Riley Tufte, that is not a top 10 team.
Nope. Not at all. All right, let's get to some games.
Okay, let's talk about games happening on Tuesday. Hermantown Greenway at Greenway.
The Snake Pit.
I like this game. I think this is going to be a really fun game if you're up in that area to go see. I think Greenway's gotten blessed now with two fun home games, one with Hibbing earlier this season.
4-2.
Which it was tied going into the third, I want to say. And that game was sold out, and so I think this game's going to be easily sold out.
No question about it.
And it's going to be loud, and it's going to be obnoxious, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
This place, if you've never been in this arena, they literally are on top of you when you're in the arena. It's a very, very, very hard place to play.
It's crazy. Yeah, Carl.
That's what I was going to say. But I hope the atmosphere is good, though, because honestly, I'd take Hermantown by five. I'm going to say it there.
It won't be close, but it'll be exciting. For a while.
I think it will be close through 1.5, 2 periods.
Yep, I think that's a good observation.
Because I think that adrenaline will kick in, you know, and then it'll wear off sort of thing.
Yep. Yeah. I just don't think they have...
I don't think
they have the depth. I just don't.
No. Mm-hmm. I think Hermantown would be the best team in class 7AA.
In that section. They would be.
Easily.
Absolutely, they would be.
Easily. Mm-hmm. So I think we're all in consensus that Hermantown is going to win this game, but it's going to be a fun game, and Greenway can make this one close.
Yep. The old home ice deal. It could happen.
Now we're going to go into kind of a speedier Lake Conference because, as well, we like the Lake Conference. We talk about the Lake Conference too
much. Way too much. So let's go whiz right through these before we get to our pick-ems. Go ahead, Danny.
Eden Prairie wises out on Thursday.
Oh, this is going to be a fun game. I really do. I said off air, something's going to go down in this game. There's just too many personalities in this game. You got Hunter Johannes, who's now like the new Hank Sorensen.
He's a wanted man.
Of the South? Oh, yeah. He's crazy. And then Hank Sorensen and all kinds of, like you said, the Kardashians. You know, you got to go to this game. Just something's going to go down, you know.
Yeah, I think can Wyzetta score? Because we know Middlestad's going to score, and we know Graham's going to be dynamic, even though I haven't been impressed with Graham all season.
I think he's got to play with Casey for that to really happen. I really do. That's not going to happen, so let's just move on. That topic.
But I think this game is a real proving ground for Wyzetta that their season is not over, sort of thing.
They're going to lose by a field goal.
It's a huge lead for Wyzetta, yeah. Because, I mean, the wheels have been wobbling, and they're very close to falling off, so they need to do something big this week.
Yep, like I said, they're going to lose by a field goal. It's going to look a lot like that Eden Prairie Duluth East game.
But if Wyzetta wins this game and then wins their game on Saturday versus Eden, we're going to be praising Wyzetta pretty hard, I want to say.
We'll be apologizing, but until then, ifs and buts, you know?
Yeah.
If they win this and then they win that and then they win that, no, that's just not going to happen. They're not going to win.
Then I'm drinking at McGovern's and the team won.
And I love a lot of friends in Wyzetta, but I'm sorry, they're not going to win.
Yeah. I think that they can win the Saturday game. What about you, Carl? Against Edina.
Yeah, I mean, well, we see the Edina already this year, so we know they can, but just the way they've been trending, I'm still skeptical.
Yeah, I mean, and they did this last year, and we talked about this on the first show that, okay, are they going to shake off what they did last year? Is this, you know, Max Zimmer's gone, you know, those players are gone. Are they going to wake up and, like, finally live up to expectations? And we thought they did, and they haven't. Okay, Minnetonka in Prairie on Saturday as well. I think this game is going to be a good game. This is a very big proving game for Minnetonka, who you still have at number five, Carl.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and those two played in the Schwann Cup. It was a one-goal game, so I don't see any reason not to expect another tight one here. So,
I think Eden Prairie will keep them at arm's length distance, mm-hmm. and if it's tied after two periods, which I wouldn't be surprised it was, they'll put them away late with either a Eden with a Casey Milstead goal or two. It just seems to be like the formula.
And this game's at Eden Prairie. I think it favors Eden Prairie. If it was at Pagel right now, I think it would favor Minnetonka.
I agree.
And I just think that's the case. Okay, enough with the late conference talk. Let's do some pick'ems.
All right, let's do it. This week's pick'em game, number one, is Hermantown. I was assuming they would be, if you had a Class A, they'd be number one in your poll. They'll be number one this week for me, Carl, taking on I was looking at your rankings today, number nine, Bemidji.
Number nine.
They're number nine in AA. They were not number nine last week. And what did they do this week to earn that love back?
Did they
rip you on the message? Did Elliot 73 rip you on the message board or something?
They must have beat somebody. Did they beat Blaine this week or Benilde?
No.
Holy Family.
No. No, they did nothing. Their signature win is when? Against who? You said this on the show 2 weeks ago.
Brainerd.
They beat Brainerd. Okay. Oh, yeah. I see why they're number nine. I see that now.
Brainerd's got a good coach. That's about it, Carl.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. All right. So I'm marking down the picks now. I'm going Hermantown. I got my H in there. And then, Danny, who do you have?
Hermantown.
Oh, okay. And Carl?
Okay, see, my brain says, you know, Hermantown by four, but I have Bemidji at nine, so I have to pick Bemidji. So
thank you very much. This could really come back to haunt us next week, Danny.
Yep,
we shellacked him. If Bemidji wins, oh my gosh, I'm not coming next week.
No, he's going to come in with some
lumberjack.
I will. I'll come dressed as a lumberjack next week.
First time a Duluth East person has said go Lumberjacks, I guess.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. All right, next game, St. Thomas and Hill Murray.
I'm going with Hill Murray in this game. Hill Murray normally has St. Thomas's number, and I think they're playing at Aldrich. This is a hard place for St. Thomas to play. It's Hill.
Hello.
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 I'm right here.
Hello. St. Thomas guy just picked against St. Thomas in a flip of a coin hockey game. Are you okay?
Yeah. I'm okay with
it.
It's not a reverse jinx. I don't.
Yeah, it's a reverse jinx. I'm calling it too, Carl.
I'm going with forwards are better on Hill right now.
Wow, you have a reason for it, too. Sad.
Defense is solid, and Bagley's going to stand on his head and reverse jinx this.
That's a reverse jinx. I see it all day. We see right through your ruse.
Yep.
Okay, so Danny's going Hill.
By two.
I'm going to go Hill, too. I think they're just deeper, and they'll probably just wear St. Thomas down, pull this out late. It'll be a tight game. It'll be a good game, but I'm going with Hill.
And because I think you guys are right, I think Hill's going to win. But because I'm in the lead in this pick'em segment, because I know more about hockey than you guys do, I'm going to go with St. Thomas.
Why are you in the lead, though, Tony?
It's quite easy. I picked Rapids to beat Duluth East.
Well,
and it was
against an East alum. Yeah,
that's right. And then we pushed on Hill Murray, and none of us got the Apollo Breck game right. So I'm in the lead by one. I'm going to take my Vegas money and lay it on St. Thomas this week.
We should put money on this, just a $5.
We are. You don't know it yet, but we are.
I think there's a beer at McGovern's at the end of the season with this name on it.
That's right. That's right. All right, last game, Elk River Blaine.
I'm picking Blaine in this one. I think Tufte's going to get two goals, and Notterman's going to get one, and then they're going to clean up from somebody else. Either it's going to be Vesio on the point or what have you, and I think Gerads is going to stand on his head because Gerads can.
All right. Carl, I'm going to go with Elk River. They're playing very good hockey right now. Mm-hmm. And who are you going with?
As much as I'm tempted to pick Elk River, I'm going to stick with Blaine. I think that, I've never seen a forward carry a top AA team as much as Tuffy has. And then until someone finds a way to stop him consistently, I'm just going to keep on riding the Blaine train.
Is this game played at the barn?
Yes.
I'm taking Elk.
Yeah, barn as an Elk.
Yep. Yep.
When was the last – that's a good point, Carl. When was the last time a player dominated AA like Riley Tufte is dominating right now?
I think defensemen have done it, but to do it as a forward, I'm not sure.
Is it like a George Palawa, maybe?
Yeah. Wow, that's my graduating class.
But you think about it.
That's black and white photos.
A Spihar, but yeah. Spihar had locker.
Yeah, I saw Chris this weekend. He coached Duluth East PBAA team.
So I really don't – one player carrying a team, it reminds me of Bemidji.
Single-handedly like that? Yeah, well, George is a whole lot different player.
Yeah, understandably.
Than Tufte was. Yeah, it's a good one. I mean, we'll maybe come back next week with a couple answers on that, do our crack research on
that one.
Players. Yeah. I mean, you're talking the big schools, the big time, because there's been lots of kids that have carried a single-A team or a smaller community
team.
Or Bennick from St. Francis. I mean, these kind of players. We're talking big time. Yeah.
But, I mean, like, even those teams weren't that good. I think this Tufte brings Blaine to another level.
Absolutely. So,
and last time I saw online, he's projected like number 12.
It varies, but
I mean, that's a very high for a kid that's playing high school right now.
It cracks me up. So I'm in Grand Rapids on Thursday night, and they're basically 11 or 12 NHL scouts in the building. I'm talking to Ernie Vargas from the Wild. And I'm like, who are you here to watch? And he's
Mattson.
Only seen him once. And it was like, you drove to Grand Rapids? I mean, Ernie lives in the Twin Cities. He's like, oh, yeah, it's on the way to my cabin. But it's like, it's amazing how many people they go to watch one player.
Yeah.
And watch him take one slap shot upper corner. And it's like, oh, yeah, I'll make some notes on that. Because that's about, no offense, Mattson. I mean, he had a decent game, but I mean, that's what they're looking for. You know?
Well, I remember I was one of our my old gym teacher at St. Thomas was a scout for Ottawa, and I remember him telling me that in 2006 and 2007 that people would drive up to Thief River Falls just to see Pat White play.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things.
One game. That's where it works.
Okay, well, this has been this week's show. Thanks again, Carl, for joining us, and thanks, Tim.
Thank you.
Thank you.